ओमज्ञानतिमिरन्दस्य ज्ञानाञ्जलशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतत्रिगदाधर श्रीवासवी गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके वर्स नंबर 131 सिक्स्थ चैप्टर। सूत्रेरार्थाभ्यास्य कहे प्रकाशीय पूर्वीवस्य कः सूत्रेरार्थ आचार्य। सूत्रेरार्थ मीनिंग्स ऑफ द सूत्र भाष्य द पर्पज कहे वन स्पीक्स प्रकाशीय क्लियरली मैनिफेस्टिंग टू मी यू भाष्य कह मेक अ कमेंट सूत्रेरा ऑफ द सूत्र अर्थ द मीनिंग्स आचार्य कवरिंग The meaning of the aphorisms in the Vedanta Sutra contain clear purports in themselves, but other purports represented simply cover the meaning of the sutras like a cloud. Please refer to Adilila 7 chapter verses 106 to 146 for an explanation of this verse. Sutrera mukhya artana karaha vyakhyana kalpana arthe tumitaha Sutra of the Sutras, Mukhya, direct purpose of meanings, na, not, karaha, you do, vyakhyana, explanation, kalpana, arthe, because of imaginative meaning, to me, you, taha, of that, kara, do, chadana, covering. You do not explain the direct meaning of the Brahma Sutras. Indeed, it appears that your business is to cover the real meaning. This is typical of all Mayavadis or atheists to interpret the meaning of Vedic literature in their own imaginative way. The real purpose of such foolish people is to impose the impersonalist conclusion on all Vedic literature. The Mayavadi atheists also interpret the Bhagavad Gita. In every verse of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly stated that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In every verse, Vyasdev says, Sri Bhagavan watch. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, or the Blessed Lord said, it is clearly stated that the Blessed Lord is the Supreme Person. But Mayavadi atheists still try to prove that the absolute truth is impersonal. In order to present their false imaginary meanings, they must adopt so much word jugglery and grammatical interpretation that they finally become ludicrous. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remarked that no one should hear the Mayavadi commentaries or purports to any Vedic literature. Yeah. So the meaning of the Mayavadi is they are full of word jugglery and grammatical interpretation. This we have discussed elaborately. Okay, next. Yeah. Yeah.
Upanishad shabdayei mukhya arthahaya sehi artha mukhya vyasa sutre sabakaya. Chaitanya Upanishad of the Vedas, shabde by the words, yei whatever, mukhya direct, artha meaning, haya is, say that, Artha, meaning Mukhya Chief, Vyasa Sutra, in the Vedanta Sutra, Sabha, or Kaya describes. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the Vedanta Sutra is the summary of all Upanishads. Therefore, whatever direct meaning is there in the Upanishads is also recorded in the Vedanta Sutra or Vyasa Sutra. Prabhupada Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati has explained the word Upanishad in his Anubhashya. Please refer to Adilila 2nd chapter 1st and Adilila 7th chapter verses 106 and 108 for his explanations. Mukhya, can I proceed, Prabhuji?
Yeah.
Mukhya artha chari akara gunartha kalpana avidavriti chari kara shabdera lakshana. Mukhya artha, direct meaning, chari are giving up, kara you do, gunartha, indirect meaning. Kalpana, imagining, adhi, abhidhavritti, the meaning that is understood immediately, chari, giving up, kara, you do, shabdera, of the words, lakshana, interpretation, translation. For each sutra, the direct meaning must be accepted without interpretation. However, you simply abandon the direct meaning and proceed with your imaginative interpretation. Pramanera madhya shuti pramana pradhana shuti yei mukhyartha kahe sei se pramana. Pramanera of the evidences, Madhya in the midst, Shruti the Vedic version, Pramana evidence, Pradhan chief, Shruti the Vedic version, Ye whatever, Mukhyartha chief meaning, Kahe says, Say say that indeed, Pramana evidence. Although there is other evidence, the evidence given in the Vedic version must be taken as foremost. Vedic versions understood directly are first-class evidence. Purport. Works that should be consulted are Srila Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha, Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan's commentary on that, and the following verses of the Brahma Sutra Shastra Yonitvat, VS 1.1.3, and Tarka Pratishthanat, VS 2.1.11, and Shrutes Tu Shabda Mulatvat, VS 2.1.27. As commented upon by Sri Ramanujacharya, Sri Madhvacharya, Sri Nimbarkacharya, and Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan. In his book Sarva Sammadini, Srila Jiva Goswami has noted that although there are 10 kinds of evidence, direct perception, the Vedic version, historical reference, hypothesis, and so on, and although they are all generally accepted as evidence, the person presenting a hypothesis, reading the Vedic version, perceiving or interpreting by his experience, is certain to be imperfect in four ways. That is, he is subject to committing mistakes, to becoming illusioned, to cheating, and to have imperfect senses. Although the evidence may be correct, the person himself is in danger of being misled due to his material defects. Apart from the direct presentation, there is a chance that an interpretation may not be perfect. Therefore, the conclusion is that only a direct presentation can be considered evidence. Direct presentation can be considered as evidence. An interpretation cannot be accepted as evidence, but may be considered proof of evidence. In the Bhagavad Gita, at the very beginning, it is stated, Dhritarashtravacha dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveta yuyutsavaha mamakas pandavaschaiva kim akurvata sanjaya. The statements of the Bhagavad Gita are themselves proof that there is a place of religious pilgrimage named Kurukshetra where the Pandavas and Kurus met to fight. After meeting there, what did they do? This was Dhritarashtra's inquiry to Sanjaya. Although these statements are very clear, try to interpret different meanings of the words Dharma Kshetra and Kurukshetra. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami has warned us not to depend on any kind of interpretation. It is better to take the verses as they are without interpretation.
Okay, yeah. So here actually we can see that how this acharyas, they have commented on the Shastra, but they have given direct interpretation. And one consistent thing that we observe amongst Vaishnava acharyas is that they have refuted the previous, they have refuted the teachings of the Mayavad philosophy or teachings of Shankaracharya very thoroughly. So all the Vaishnava acharyas, they have done that. And so if absolute truth is the ultimate absolute truth is Brahma in future, then that would not have been the case. Or if the absolute truth has been simultaneously Brahman as well as the personal aspect or personal impersonal aspect, they are the ultimate truth of the absolute truth, then they would have not refuted the teachings of the Shankaracharya philosophers. But here we can see that consistently, right from the beginning, each and every Vaishnava Acharya, they have refuted mentions of Shankaracharya. So one thing is clear, that the absolute truth, the ultimate form of that truth, is actually presented in a personal form. And that is what they are actually establishing from multiple evidences. So not just from Shastra, Prabhupada actually here mentions about the direct perception, Anuman, the Pratyaksha, the Vedic version, Shastra, historical reference, hypothesis, Anuman, so on. So from all these criteria they have actually extracted that the ultimate truth in its ultimate form is actually personal. Right? And that's how they have been able to refute the philosophy of Mayavadis using all these evidences. So this is also important. How can we say, like, you know, here the obviously the common question is that every acharya is interpreting in their own understanding according to their own realization. So then how do we know who is saying the ultimate truth? And that is the reason it is necessary to refute the points that have been presented by the other acharyas so that we can establish our position. And not only that, but we can get confirmation from all the evidences. So that is the reason, you know, we have like discussed earlier, the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is ultimate because it is not contradicting the Shastra and it is giving a very holistic and a very broad view of the entire philosophy, all-inclusive philosophy. It is providing an all-inclusive philosophy and it is not excluding anything. Whereas the other philosophies presented by acharyas, they, although they may refute the previous acharyas or the Mayavad philosophers, but they don't give a complete picture of the conclusion of the Shastra. So whether it is Nimbarkacharya or Vallabhacharya or Ramanujacharya or Madhvacharya, they are not giving complete analysis of the Vedic scriptures. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, Achintya Bhedabhed Tattva, is the most complete, or it is all inclusive. So some of the Vaishnava acharyas, they are definitely, all of them are refuting Mayavad philosophy, but even their philosophy also is not giving, or it is not manifesting complete revelation. So finally, the conclusion is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that is the reason it's a logical order also. You can see that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is appearing at the end of all the acharyas. Because these acharyas, they are like upgrading the philosophy to a great degree. And then finally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is synthesizing all these four philosophies like that. Okay, so any comment or question? Okay, Swati Madhuri, will you be able to read?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay.
136. Jivera Ashti Vishtato Shankha Gomaya Shruti Vakke Seido Mahapavitra Haya. Jivera of the living entity, Asti the bone, Vishta stood, to Shankha Konsha, Gomaya Cow Dung. Shruti Vakya, in the words of the Vedic version, say that thou too, Maha greatly, Pavitra pure, Haya are. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, conscience and cow dung are nothing but the bones and stool of some living entity. But according to the Vedic version, they are both considered very pure. But according to Vedic principles, bones and dung are generally considered very impure. If one touches a bone or stool, he must take a bath immediately. That is the Vedic injunction. Yet the Vedas also enjoin that a corn shell, although the bone of an animal, and the cow dung, although the stool of an animal, are very much sanctified. Even though such statements appear contradictory, on the basis of the Vedic version, we still accept the fact that conscience and cow dung are pure and sanctified. So continue, Prabhu. 137. Yeah, okay. Swata pramana veda satya ke he kaya lakshana karile swata pramana ya hani haya. Swata pramana, self evidence, veda with Vedic literature, satya truth, he whatever. Kaya, say, lakshana, interpretation, Kalile by making Swata, Pramana, self-evidence, proof, Hani, lost, Haya, becomes. The Vedic statements are self-evident. Whatever is stated there must be accepted. If we interpret according to our own imagination, the authority of the Vedas is immediately lost. Purport. Out of four main types of evidence, direct perception, hypothesis, historical reference, and the Vedas, the Vedic evidence is accepted as the foremost. If we want to interpret the Vedic version, we must imagine an interpretation according to what we want to do. First of all, we set forth some such an interpretation as a suggestion or hypothesis. As such, it is not actually true, and the self-evident proof is lost. Srila Madhvacharya, commenting on the aphorism Dishyatu to Vedanta Sutra 216, quotes the Bhavishya Purana as follows. Rig Yajur Samata Vascha Bharatantra Pancharatrakam Mola Ramayanam Chaiva Veda Iti Eva Shabdita Purananicha Jnaniha Vaishnavani Vidu Vidu Svata Pramanam Yam Vishtesham Natra Kinchit Vicharyate. The Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda, Mahabharata, Pancharatra, and other original Ramayana are considered Vedic literature. The Puranas such as Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Narada Driya Purana, Vishnu Purana, and Bhagavad Purana are especially meant for Vaishnavas and are also Vedic literatures. As such, whatever is stated within the Puranas, Mahabharata, and Ramayana is self-evidence. There is no proof for interpretation. The Bhagavad Gita is also within the Mahabharata. Therefore, all the statements of the Bhagavad Gita are self-evident. There is no need for interpretation, and if we do interpret, the entire authority of the Vedic literature is lost.
The Vedic literature, the Vedic evidence is actually the foremost. Shastra is the foremost evidence amongst the other ones. The most important in evidence is basically the Shastra. There's a specific term used for that. Apaurusha Shabda Pramana. Yeah, that is the term which Jiva Swami also mentioned in the Sandarbhas, that this Vedic evidence is basically Apaurusha Shabda Pramana, which means, Apaurusha means without involving any kind of human error. Apaurusha Shabda Pramana, which so these pramans, they are at the ultimate authorities. Now direct perception and anuman, it can have some kind of fallibility because these are directly connected with human perception. Okay, like we say that direct perception is something which is experienced by us, experienced by our mind-body intelligence, right? So there can be some faults in that, and even in terms of logical inference, there may be some kind of fallibility because we use our intelligence and we use our mind, okay? And because we know that these are the products of the material energy, that is the reason it can be covered with faults. So those things which are not fallible, they are considered the topmost authority, which is the Shastra, because it is directly coming from the breathing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, all these Vedas, the corollaries of the Puranas and all the supplements, they are all coming from the breathing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is given in the Rig Veda itself, right? So in our Glories of Srimad Bhagavatam class, we have elaborately discussed these details. So I had covered three parts of Glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. The first was from the academic point of view, how in the current material world also the Glories of Bhagavatam is self-manifested amongst the class of scholarly people, how they also can clearly understand how Srimad Bhagavatam is a unique scripture compared to any other scripture. And then the second part was to establish the position of Srimad Bhagavatam from the Vedic scriptures itself, to prove that the Puranas are superior to the Vedas, and amongst the Puranas, Bhagavatam is the topmost. That is what we did in the second part. And the third part was dealing more with the direct perception of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So there were very intimate points, very esoteric points from the Srimad Bhagavatam which the Acharyas have explained. And this is how we actually established the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. So here also the same point is mentioned. Madhvacharya in a quote the Bhavishya Purana, but there are many other scriptures also which glorify the uniqueness of the Puranas and the Itihasas, and how they are actually in this particular era, in this particular time, they are the best means to understand the Vedic literature. Because the problem with Vedic, and you know, there are two parts of Vedic literature. One is, in order to understand Vedic literature, you must be thorough with the Sanskrit language. And so there are two parts of the Sanskrit language. One is classical Sanskrit and one is Vedic Sanskrit. Now, Vedic Sanskrit, it is extremely difficult to understand. It takes lot of years to understand the grammar of Vedic Sanskrit. For example, for classical Sanskrit, the general time period which is given is 11 years. After studying grammar for 11 years, you can at least start understanding what is grammar. And then classical Sanskrit, Vedic Sanskrit, it takes another 3 or 4 years more to properly understand the grammar. So now this Vedic Sanskrit is kind of obsolete. It is no longer used, and mostly classical Sanskrit is used. Okay, so in order to read the Shastra or read the Vedas, it is extremely difficult. It's not possible for any ordinary person. Someone who is highly qualified and very scholarly personality, they can probably, at least they can understand the grammar and they can translate. Although it is a fact that the Vedas are revealed to a person who has implicit faith in spiritual master and the Lord. Only to those the Vedas are revealed. So the Vedas is not a matter of, you know, the revelation does not happen just by material scholarship. It only happens by implicit faith in Guru and Krishna. That is the qualification for that. So this entire scripture is coming from the breathing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because the breathing of the Supreme Lord is not different from Him, which is a Purusha in nature, that is the reason there is no fault in this. Now if you accept, if you say that that is also fault, it is also covered with fault, then we are losing the point here. Because then there is no other way to know God. If you are saying that the source of knowing God is covered with faults, then how can we understand God? So there has to be at least one pure source by which we can understand God. If there is no pure source, there is no way to understand God. So this pure source has to be the direct Vani of the Supreme Lord, or the breathing of the Supreme Lord. Okay, it is not different from Him. Yeah, and that is the reason this is the ultimate authority, the scripture. So amongst the different criteria, now technically there are three divisions: Shastra, Pratyaksha and Anuman. And then obviously it is further divided into 10 parts, as Jiva Goswami is also stating in the Sandarbhas. But ultimately the other seven of them, they are also kind of derived from these three. Okay. So, in one sense, finally it boils down to these three, and then the ultimate authority is the Vedic Shastra. Okay, so any question or comment? Okay, one question is, I think maybe we have discussed this earlier, I don't know, but the question, maybe probably this we have discussed in the Bhagavad Gita class. I remember the beginning class, the first class, in the introduction, I think we had discussed this, and I don't remember how many devotees were present for this. Maybe Shakyamuni was there, but yeah, one question is that what is Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita, is that a Shruti or a Smriti? I hope that everyone knows what is a Shruti and what is a Smriti, the difference between that. So in that sense, what is, in which category Bhagavad Gita fits?
What we have heard and isn't it so? And Smriti is what is coming by.
Can you speak louder, Gauri?
Hello?
Yeah, your voice is soft.
Prabhuji, I was saying that Shruti is what we have heard and learnt, isn't it? And Smriti is coming down in writing, in written literature.
Yeah, Shruti is that which is heard, and Smriti is that which is remembered. Okay, now what is, actually
Sorry,
speaking,
is that which is remembered.
Smriti.
So, remembered means by hearing you are remembering, that way you are saying? Or is it written?
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, so see, okay, it's kind of connected. And the way, there is one technical difference between Shruti and Smriti is that the Shruti was spoken before the creation. To Brahma, Krishna to Brahma, like that. And Smriti came into existence after the creation. That is the technical difference, or the only difference you can say. But now, see, by definition, it means that Smriti means that which you remember. Because Smriti means what? That you are remembering something. You got remembrance of something. Okay? So that is called Smriti. And Shruti is something that you hear. Okay? So now, the way they say that you remember something means there are sages who have remembered certain things and they have written down. For example, Mahabharata or Ramayana, you know, they have remembered and they have written down. Valmiki Rishi also, he is remembering and he is writing down. Now he did not hear the Ramayana from anyone, Valmiki Rishi. He just remembered and he just wrote it down. Okay. So this is a technical difference between a Shruti and Smriti. Although actually what you are saying is right, you know, because ultimately what can you remember? How can you remember something unless you have heard it, right? Or unless you have a direct realization, direct perception of that thing, you cannot remember things. How can you remember like that, right? So just because these sages, they are considered to be living entities, jivas. Some people, they say that smritis are that, that's why they are inferior to smritis, because smritis was, you know, directly revealed, it was revealed directly by the Supreme Lord at the beginning of the creation to Brahma. And then later on the sages, when they remember something and then they have written it down, it can actually involve human error. Okay? That is what the propagators of Vedic scriptures, or you can say the Smarta Brahmanas or maybe the Mayavad philosophers, they will always take the stand that, and that is the reason they will not accept Smritis also as a Praman. Or maybe, you know, to speak you know, the real thing, what they will do is whenever there is a conflict between the Smritis and Smritis, they will only select the Shrutis and they will say that Shrutis can be neglected or rejected because Shrutis have more weight, they have more importance. Although it is very interesting that in the Shastra, nowhere in the Shastra it is mentioned that Shrutis are considered to be inferior to the Shrutis. And there are so many references in the Shastra where it is clearly mentioned that, like for this, you know, now, okay, one can say that, okay, this verse is from the Bhavishya Purana. So how can we accept a sloka from an inferior scripture? But then there are references in Rig Veda also, and there are references in Upanishads also, where it is clearly mentioned that Shrutis, Smritis, or you know, Puranas, Itihas, they are all coming from the breathing of the Supreme Lord. And there are, in fact, there is also mention of the Mahabharata being the fifth Veda. So they are all Vedic in nature. They are not inferior to Vedic literature. They are all Vedic in nature. That is what we had proved in our Srimad Bhagavatam class also. And this is clearly coming from Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha. He has established the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam using all these Vedic references. Now, in one sense, the Vedic literature also, see, it is obvious that when the Vedic literature, although it is revealed to Brahma, and then Brahma is also revealing to Narad Muni, and then the entire parampara is following, it's a matter of revelation. But till when? It's a matter of revelation till when? Like, you can hear up to the age of Dwapar Yuga, but as soon as Kali Yuga will start, then obviously it has to be recorded. So, what used to happen earlier, just by hearing, people used to remember things. Correct? They used to remember. So now we can say that if people are saying that Smritis are just a manifestation of the sage's realization, or you know, it can be with faults, but then obviously it is not contradicting the Vedic literatures, and they are also hearing from authorities, from bona fide sources. So how is it possible that Smritis are inferior, right? And plus, the fact that the Shruti itself is saying that all this is coming from the breathing of Supreme Lord, it means that even before the sages are compiling the Puranas, or they are manifesting these Itihasas, even before that, the Supreme Lord has already manifested these things. It's a matter of time that they are just, it's just like, you know, it is appearing, it is disappearing, and then again appearing. Okay, manifesting, and then disappearing, and again manifesting. But actually, these scriptures are eternal. So the Smritis are eternal, and the Shrutis are also eternal. And both coming at the same time, because this is what clearly stated in Shrutis.
So Prabhuji, then Bhagavad Gita, because it is spoken, it should be Shruti.
Yeah.
But Mahabharata...
Exactly.
But
so,
Mahabharata will be a Smriti.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's the reason I asked the question.
So Bhagavad Gita is a Shruti within a Smriti, like that.
Yeah, so it is both. Actually, it is both. And in fact, ideally, it would be a Shruti only, because directly the Lord is speaking to Arjuna. But just because it is appearing in a Smriti, you know, people, especially Christians and Muslims, you know, they quote all these Vedic literatures, and they try to diminish the position of Bhagavad Gita. And see, if you have heard Dr. Zakir Naik's videos, he is trying to minimize the position of Bhagavad Gita very clearly. I'm pretty sure that some of you must have heard his videos. He's directly diminishing and minimizing the position of Bhagavad Gita. And he says that Bhagavad Gita is not authority for the Hindus. The authority is actually the scriptures, which is the Vedas or the Shrutis. Okay, but you know, Krishna himself is saying that Vedascha Sarva Ama Ava Vedya Vedanta Krit Vedavit Eva Chama. So he's saying that I am the knower of Vedas, I am the compiler of Vedas. The purpose of Vedas is to know me. Right away he's saying that. And so, but still, you know, those who want to diminish the position of Bhagavad Gita, they will find references from scriptures and they will do it. Because the Shastra is full of contradictions. You can easily pick up statements from different Shastra and prove your point. But we have to see it holistically. What Shastra is saying, Shastra is talking about everything.
Correct. But technically the Vedas were compiled by Vedavyasji, correct?
Yeah, it was compiled, but Vedas were right from the beginning of creation.
Correct. So So they were compiled by Vedavyasji, as well as the Mahabharata was also said by Vedavyasji only, but it was written by one of his students.
Although what?
The Mahabharata
yeah.
was there. Mahabharata was the information of Mahabharata was given by Vedavyasji, but it was written
right.
by one of his students, na? One of his disciples, right?
Ganesh wrote it.
Ganeshji wrote the Mahabharata or the Srimad Bhagavatam?
No. He has written the Mahabharata specifically, and Vyasdev compiled the Puranas.
And the Vedas was also written by Ganeshji?
No. See, he has. So there is a difference. Mahabharata was directly written by Ganesha, and the Vedas, they were already there, so they were just compiled by Vedas, and the Puranas were also compiled. Now, okay, so is that clear?
See, in the lecture of Brihad Bhagavatam, was given by Sukhdev Goswami it was spoken by Parikshit Maharaj to his mother, correct? As heard from Sukhdev.
Correct, yeah. Okay, so that is true, what you are saying. That's another version of Mahabharata.
So because Mahabharata, there are many versions. Where out of
correct,
versions,
yeah.
Maybe one or two are remaining, something like that.
Yeah. So, see, that is the reason Mahabharata is a corrupt text, because it has multiple versions. And when we say corrupt text, it basically means that there is a, there is a lot of diversion in the usage of the slokas. Like, for example, this is also covered in our Vedic of Srimad Bhagavatam class, where it is mentioned, where I was actually present in this point, in the academic section, that what is happening with Mahabharata is that in different parts of India, South India, North India, East India, West India, these are according to dialect, according to culture, the Mahabharata texts are varying, which is not true with the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. As far as the original Sanskrit slokas are concerned, these are mostly 99.99%, these are the same wherever, whichever region you go for Srimad Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, there is no change in the original Sanskrit words. But when you consider the Mahabharata, these four, or multiple versions of Mahabharata, the text itself is different. Okay, and there is a difference. What to speak of? See, we are not talking here about interpretation. The text itself is different. So there is a lot of variation in the text, in the Mahabharata. It is not there. So one particular glory of Srimad Bhagavatam is that the consistent, the originality of the text, they have been preserved. It's very consistent literature. Similarly, the Bhagavad Gita also. Bhagavad Gita, there are some cases where maybe you can, one or two words are just interchanged and it does not change the meaning. Okay, but in Mahabharata, there's a considerable difference. A lot of variation is there. So, that is why the Mahabharata is not to be quoted, and it is not quoted by any other of our acharyas. If you see, they will not quote Mahabharata like the way they will quote Upanishads, or they will quote the Puranas or the Srimad Bhagavatam, because the version of Mahabharata is very different. So it is not recommended to that. So none of the acharyas, they have quoted Mahabharata as Pramana, on a frequent basis. Maybe at some places they have used. Now, obviously, it does not mean that all the texts are different. No. Definitely, maybe around 50 to 60% texts are the same. But then maybe there are 30 to 40% text which is, there, a lot of variation is there. Whereas for other texts, especially for Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and why it's consistent, because I have explained this point in our Bhagavatam seminar. The reason is because right from the beginning, people of India or the ancestors in India or in Bharatvarsha, they have very reverentially and with a lot of respect and devotion, they have always treated the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Right from the beginning, it's a very reverential scripture. So whenever people, when they hired scribes to copy, you know, from the leaf to the pages. So, see, the first printing press, or you can say the conception of the page, started the time of Jiva Goswami. That's when the pages, they started coming up. Okay. So, what people used to do, they used to hire scribes so that they can copy all the text from the palm leaf to the pages. Now, when they are copying from one place to another place, obviously there are chances of committing a lot of errors and mistakes. You may skip a syllable, you may skip a word, you may skip an entire line, worst of that is that if the scribes are paid, then what will happen? They want to get the maximum number of, they want to earn maximum money by copying maximum sentences. So what they will do is, they just copy and they will not even bother to see what they are copying, whether there is an error or not. Now this thing has been happened for the Mahabharata, but it has not been happened for Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, because from the beginning it has been treated very, considered to be a very sacred scripture, very powerful and very devotional scripture. So that is the reason you'll see that the Bhagavatam does not have that kind of variation, neither the Bhagavad Gita. Okay, and so this is the academic part of the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. How the entire scripture is consistent right from the beginning. Okay, and this is the way Jiva Goswami is proving that Srimad Bhagavatam is ultimate authority, because practically there is no fault in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It is Amal Purana. Yeah, so okay. Is that clear? Yes, so Sanatan Goswami, he is describing the Mahabharata, which is given by Jaimini Rishi to King Janamejaya. And King Janamejaya is the son of Parikshit Maharaj.
Correct. And okay. In that Mahabharata,
so he is narrating,
Lord Krishna is glorified very well. So that is a version of Mahabharata in which Krishna is glorified as Lord.
Yeah, that's right. See, here also in our, the Mahabharata, or you can say, whichever Mahabharata you speak, you take, Krishna is also glorified, but not in the way that the Srimad Bhagavatam is glorifying, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But definitely, Krishna is Bhagavan. That is understood from the Narayaniya section of the Mahabharata, the Moksha Dharma section of the Mahabharata, where Bhishma Pitama is glorifying Krishna, and then Narayana section, we know that it's got the chapter of the Vishnu Sahasranam. So where finally it is concluded that one name of Krishna equals to three names of Lord Ramchandra, right? And one name of Rama is equal to 1,000 names of Vishnu. So that way, Krishna glory is definitely manifested, but it is not in the limelight. It is not the center. The center is basically the fight of the Kauravas and the Pandavas. It's focused more on that rather than Krishna being the focus, the central figure of the scripture. So, but here in the Bhagavatam, right from the beginning, middle and end, the glories of Krishna has been spoken. So that way the Bhagavatam is actually the ultimate authority.
Correct.
Okay. So any other devotees, they have any question or comment on this? Okay, next. Vyasa Sutra Rartha Yache Surya Rakirana Swakalpite Bhasa Mega Kare Achadana. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, the Brahma Sutra compiled by Vedvyas is as radiant as the sun. One who tries to interpret its meaning simply covers that sunshine with a cloud. वेद पुराणे कहे ब्रह्म निरूपण से ब्रह्म ब्रियल वस्तु ईश्वर लक्षण वेद पुराणे इन द वेदास द पुराणास कहे इट इज स्टेटेड ब्रह्म निरूपण एक्सप्लेन द सुप्रीम से दैट ब्रह्म से ब्रह्म दैट सुप्रीम ब्रियल वस्तु द ग्रेट ईश्वर लक्षण फीचर ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑल द वेदास एंड वेदिक लिटरेचर that strictly follows the Vedic principles, explain that Supreme Brahman is absolute truth, the greatest of all, and a feature of the Supreme Lord. The greatest of everything is Sri Krishna. Sri Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Vedeshtha Sarvair Aam Eva Vedya. By all the Vedas I am to be known. In Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that absolute truth is understood in three phases, namely Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Sabdete. Well, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the last word in understanding the absolute truth, Brahman. Okay, Rajiv Prabhu, you can continue.
Okay. Sarveshkarya Paripurna Swayam Bhagavan Tanirnira Karakari Karaha Vyakhana Sarva Aishwarya Paripurna. Full with all opulences, Swayam personally, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sanvya him, Nirakara, impersonal, Kari making, Karaha, you make, Vyakhyana, explanation. Actually, the Supreme Absolute Truth is a person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full with all opulences. You are trying to explain him as impersonal and formless. Purpose. Brahman means Brihatva, the greatest of all. The greatest of all is Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He possesses all potencies and opulence in full. Therefore, the Absolute Truth, the greatest of all, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether one says Brahman or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the fact is the same, for they are identical. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna accepted Krishna as Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. Although the living entities of material nature are sometimes described as Brahman, Parabrahman, the Supreme, the greatest of all Brahman is still Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is full with all opulences, and as such he possesses all riches, all strength, all reputation, all knowledge, all beauty and all renunciation. He is eternally a person and eternally supreme. If one tries to explain supreme impersonally, one distorts the real meaning of Brahman. Nirvisheshatanreka hai ye ishruti jana prakrita nishenikare aprakrita sthapana. Wherever there is an impersonal description, nirvishesh impersonal, tanrehim, kahe, se, ye, whatever, shruti gana, the Vedas, prakrita, mundane, nishedi, forbidding, kare das, aprakrita, transcendental, sthapana, confirmation. Wherever there is an impersonal description in the Vedas, the Vedas mean to establish that everything belonging to Supreme Personality of Godhead is transcendental and free of mundane characteristics. But there are many impersonal statements about the Supreme Personality of Godhead as stated in the Śrīta-stotāra Upanishad. Apanipāro javano grahita pashya chakshu शृणोति यः कर्णः ते वेत्ति वेद्यन्न च तस्याति वेता तमहुरग्र अग्र्यां पुरुषं महन्तम् Although the Supreme Lord is described as having no hands and legs, he nonetheless accepts all sacrificial offerings. He has no eyes, yet he sees everything. He has no ears, yet he hears everything. When it is stated that the Supreme Lord has no hands and legs, one should not think that he is impersonal. Rather, he has no mundane hands or legs like ours. He has no eyes, yet he sees. This means that he does not have mundane limited eyes like ours. Rather, he has such eyes that he can see past, present and future everywhere, in every corner of the universe and in every corner of the heart of every living entity. Thus, the impersonal descriptions in the Vedas intend to deny mundane characteristics in the Supreme Lord. They do not intend to establish the Supreme Lord as impersonal.
Yeah, so this is a typical statement from the Upanishad, which one can conclude that it is an impersonal feature of the Lord, because it is mentioning that he has no ears, he has no eyes and all. But then Vaishnavas interpret as no mundane ear, eyes, senses. We are all transcendental. So one can, immediately quote like this. But then obviously we have to see the other statements of the Shastra. And the Vedanta Sutra, in that, Vedas, when he is compiling the Vedas in the Vedanta Sutra, he points this out, that whenever there is apparent contradiction between two statements, one should not be overlooked. So the one statement has to be interpreted, but we cannot reject either of them. We have to accept both of them, but we have to reconcile it, or we have to interpret the other. So what Mayavadis are doing, they are just quoting all these impersonal statements, and they are just saying that, okay, the Lord is ultimately impersonal. But Vaishnavas, they are quoting both of these things, but at the same time, they are also interpreting one statement, and they are reconciled. So both are true. Whatever the scriptures are saying, it's all true. And we have different versions in scriptures. Like we have the version in the Mahabharata, the version in the Bhagavatam, they differ from each other. The version of Bhagavatam differs from the version of the Puranas. But we reconcile by saying that because, these may happen in different kalpas. So they are all, we don't say that, okay, because Srimad Bhagavatam is ultimate Puran. So we don't consider any of the scriptures. We reject. Or whenever there is a conflict, we only accept the statement of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, I mean, for the Vaishnavas, the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate. Because Bhagavatam is explaining from a devotional point of view, whereas other scriptures are explaining from the modes of material nature. So that aspect we can definitely take from Bhagavatam. But to say that this aspect is not existing, or it is false, that is definitely Shastra Ninda. So we have to accept it, but we can just reconcile by saying that it happened in a different kalpa, or it can happen in different ways, the same pastime. The point of view is different. Okay, next, yeah, Swati Madhuri.
श्रुति जल जलपाति निर्विशेषम सा शब्दे धाते सविशेषम एवं विचरयो योगे सत्विहंत तासम प्रयो बलिया सा विशेषम एवं या व्हाटएवर श्रुति द वैदिक हिम्स जलपति डिस्क्राइब निर्विशेषम इंपर्सनल ट्रूथ सा दैट अविदत्ते डायरेक्ट describes like a dictionary meaning. Savishesham, personality, eva, certainly. Vichara yoga, when accepted by intelligence. Sati, being, hanta, alas. Talsam of all the Vedic mantras. Praya, mostly. Baliya, more powerful. Savishesham, personal variety, eva, certainly. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, whatever Vedic mantras describe the absolute truth impersonally, only prove in the end that the absolute truth is a person. The Supreme Lord is understood in two features, impersonal and personal. If one considers the Supreme Personality of Godhead in both features, he can actually understand the absolute truth. He knows that the personal understanding is stronger because we see that everything is full of variety. No one can see anything that is not full of variety. This is the quotation from Sri Chaitanya Chandrudaya Nataka 667 by Kavi Karnapura. 143. Brahma haite janme vishwa pramiti jivaya se brahma punarapi haya laya. Brahma haita, from the Supreme Brahman. Janme emanates. Vishwa, the whole cosmic manifestation. Brahmeti, in the absolute truth. Jivaya exists. Say that Brahma in the absolute truth. Punarapi again. Haya being. Haya goes laya to annihilate. Annihilation. Everything in the cosmic manifestation emanates from the absolute truth, remains in the absolute truth, and after annihilation again enters absolute truth. Purport. In the Taittiriya Upanishad 3.1, it is said, Yato va imani bhutani jayante. The entire material cosmic manifestation is born of the Supreme Brahman. Also, the Brahma Sutra begins with the verse Janmadi asya yatha. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.1. The absolute truth is that from whom everything emanates. Brahma Samhiti 1.1.2. That absolute truth is Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo matah sarvam pravartate. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. Therefore, Krishna is the original absolute truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 9.4, Maya tatam nidam sarvam jagadavyaktamurtina. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. And as confirmed in the Brahma Samhiti 537, Goloka eva nivashasti akilatma bhuta. Although the Lord always stays in his abode, Goloka Vrindavan, he is still all pervading. His all pervasive feature is understood to be impersonal, because one does not find the form of the Lord in that all-pervasiveness. Actually, everything is resting on the rays of his bodily effulgence. The Brahma Samhiti 540 also states, Yasya prabho prabhavato jagatanda kotir kote shashesha vasudati vibhuta vinnam. Due to the rays of the Lord's bodily effulgence, millions of universes are created, just as planets are created from the sun.
See here, actually it is,
here Rupa is saying that planets are created from the sun.
Huh?
In the purport, it is last line, Srila Prabhupada is saying, millions of universes are created just as planets are created from the sun.
Okay, yeah.
That is most contrary to our Vedic cosmology.
Huh?
This goes contrary to the Vedic cosmology, na?
Yeah, Vedic cosmology what?
This is contrary to the Vedic cosmology class here, na? Here it is said, planets are created from the sun.
Yeah.
So this is going contrary to what we are studying in Vedic cosmology.
I mean, you are saying that it's pointing towards Vedic cosmology?
No. Are you able to hear me clearly, Prabhuji?
Not very clearly. I mean, I am able to hear you, but
I was just saying that it is going contrary, it is opposing the Vedic cosmology that we understood.
Oh, so what you are saying is, this is opposing the Vedic cosmology?
Yeah.
Okay, and how is that opposing?
I mean, we don't need to, because Earth is on the Jambadvipa, and Jambadvipa is so big, and Sun is comparatively smaller in size.
Yeah.
So how can the Jambudvipa come and Earth, which is actually a part of Jambudvipa, how can it come out of the Sun then? So that is not what the Vedic cosmology did not say, that the planets are coming out of the Sun.
No. Actually, it does not literally mean like that. Okay, let's refer.
I mean, it just occurred, ye point aaya karke. We need not spend time on this, but I'm just, since ye point aaya karke, immediately just struck me, so I, maybe later on, sometime we can discuss.
Okay, so now, so if you refer to this original verse from the Brahma Samhita, see, the Vedic cosmology is all derived from Shastra only. It is taking quotes from Brahma Samhita, it is taking quotes from Rupa Goswami's Laghu Bhagavatam, it is taking quotes from Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is also taking quotes from Acharyas. So that's how they have developed this Bhagavat cosmology. So it's not possible that it can actually contradict. So let's go to that Brahma Samhita verse. If you consider this verse, the translation is as follows. I worship Govinda, primal Lord, whose effulgent is the source of the non-differentiated Brahman mentioned in the Upanishad, being differentiated from the infinity of the glories of the mundane universe, appears as the indivisible, infinite, limitless truth. So now here actually there is no, as Prabhupada is saying in that purport, there is no mention of the planets coming from the Sun, or the planets are created from the Sun.
Exactly, that is what I mean. Prabhupada is saying, but it's not, it was Prabhupada said that, but it was not in the Vedic cosmology like that. That is what I was saying.
But I don't think here what Prabhupada meant is that the planets are coming from the Sun. I think what the meaning is here, that the light, the source of the effulgence, is the Sun is the source of these things for the different planets. I think that is what is meant here. Because we say that the original light of the planets, it is...
But it's written clearly that planets are created from the Sun. That is what is how it is worded, no? Purport is meant for the layman.
Okay. You see, just as planets are created from the Sun, this is not one, I think even scientifically also, the planets, they are not coming from Sun, right?
Scientifically, they are.
They are coming from Sun.
Yeah.
Okay. I am not sure about.
Yeah. No. 100%. That is what we have always studied in school.
But see, I am not sure about this, because I was under the impression that the Big Bang theory is there, and that is the cause of this cosmic creation.
Big Bang is at the level of the galaxies. So when the galaxy is settled, and when the our star, that is the sun, from there this drop has come out, and that drop is further disintegrated into many planets and their satellites.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, maybe it is possible. Astronomy was a very long time subject. I don't remember. Yeah, so maybe this is what Prabhupada has probably stated, just to explain to the layman or to the
people who are just aligned with the layman's understanding, so that the layman understands the spiritual concept. It's not necessarily endorsing the scientific understanding of the planet system, but as the layman has understood, so he will be able to understand the spiritual. Maybe that is how we can reconcile.
Yeah, it seems like that. Because here, you know, the translation is definitely different from the way you see the original translation of this Brahma Samhita. So, it is possible. Yeah, so basically, you are saying that the sun is the first object that comes from the Big Bang. And from that sun, all the other planets are also evolving.
The Big Bang is the material creation, right? The universe, creation of the universe, as understood.
No, Big Bang, see, Big Bang, the source of Big Bang is unknown. Source of Big Bang is unknown for the scientists.
No, they don't know the source. I'm not saying about source of Big Bang.
Saying,
I'm not saying about the source of Big Bang. I'm saying that Big Bang is how this entire cosmic creation came into existence. That is what the science world says. Isn't it?
Yeah, but what you are saying is that the sun is the first object that was created, and from the sun, planets are also manifested.
No. The science world does not say that. The science world says that is how material creation happened, and sun, galaxies. Sun is a very small speck of the galaxies, and there are so many galaxies. So, galaxies. When the galaxies settle down, they become stable. They are expanding, huh? All this material universe is expanding. So when it is expanding and it is settling down, so in that process somewhere when the individual stars are also settled in the within the galaxies, so wo star and sun may say apna ye nikla hai. So that is the understanding of the science. In the Vedic cosmology, there is nothing of this sort. Vedic cosmology says that this Jambudvipa is the very big thing. Actually, and sun is moving around this Jambudvipa. Sun is so small comparatively, which is moving around the Meru. So that's a completely different.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically, ultimately, all these planets are coming from the sun after cooling down when the expansion is happening.
All the planets are coming from the sun. Achha. Correct.
Oh, okay. So I was not aware of this. I mean, maybe I forgot, or it's been a long time actually.
Yeah.
Probably I was under the assumption that these are all self-manifested planets, and they all originated because of this expansion. I did knew about the expansion theory. Stephen Hawking, I think he explains this, that how everything is expanding and then it's all cooling down with time. So, but I felt that maybe everything is created from that single source. I didn't know that, okay, everything is originating from the sun.
Yeah, our solar system, in our solar system, all the planets are originating from the sun. The sun by itself is a part of the galaxy, and there is all these galaxies are ever expanding within the universe, and all of these galaxies have come from that Big Bang.
Big Bang theory definitely, you know, familiar to some degree, but even Big Bang is not accepted actually completely. I mean, there are a lot of loopholes in Big Bang theory.
Science, as it progresses, they will keep on adjusting their understanding. That is an evolving thing. It's a dynamic
yeah,
thing. Whereas our
correct.
Scriptures are firm on
yeah,
what
yeah.
they
it's always. Yeah, in fact, not just about evolving, but they may even reject it completely at some point of time in the future.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
it's very much possible. Surely.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah, but I think it was a good point that you pointed out because I mean, I was like not, my thoughts were somewhere else probably, you know, I was not focusing on that. So I also got some information there that, you know, this is how actually the planets were created from the sun. And yeah, it's very, I mean, I am feeling very, you know, ashamed that how can I not know this, you know, because I was very much involved in astronomy. That was a long time back when I was in 10th, 11th, like in my school and my college days. After that, I had completely left off from that. I was not into it, but still, I had spent a couple of years. No, so I was like surprised. Okay, I mean, this is a very important,
important
point, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, next. So who? Swati Madhav, I think she read it, right?
Yeah, should I continue?
Yeah, okay, well, now my turn. Apadana Karana Dikarana Karaka Itina Bhagavanera Savishesha Itina Chinna Apadan ablative Karana instrumental Adikarana locative Karaka cases Tina 3 Bhagavanera of the Supreme Personality of God. Svadhishesh in the personality, these Tinatrin, Chinna symptoms. The personal features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are categorized in three cases, namely ablative, instrumental, and locative. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states in his Amrit Pravaha Bhashya that according to the invention of the Upanishads, the Supreme Absolute Truth is He from whom everything emanates. They understood that the whole cosmic manifestation emanated from Brahman, the Supreme Absolute Truth. The creation subsists by the energy of the Supreme Brahman and after annihilation merging into Supreme Brahman. From this we can understand that the Absolute Truth can be categorized in three cases, ablative, instrumental and locative. From according to these three cases, the Absolute Truth is positively personified. In this connection, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur quotes the Aitareya Upanishad 1.1.1 Atmava idam eka evagra asin nanyat kinchana nishatsa ikshata lokan nu srija iti. Similarly, in the Svetavastra Upanishad 0.9 stated, Chandam Suyagna Kritavo Vratani Putam Bhavyam Yacha Veda Vadanti Yasvan Mai Sijate Vishwam Etat Tasmim Shanya Mayaya Sanirhadda. And in the Tetra Upanishad 3.1 Yatova Imani Bhutani Jayante Yena Jatani Jivanti Yat Prayanti Abhisam Vishanti Tad Vijignat Sava Tad Brahmeti. This was the answer given by Father Varuna when questioned by son Varuni Bhrigu about the Absolute Truth. Okay, one second. In this mantra, the word yata, the absolute truth from which the cosmic manifestation are emanated, is in the ablative case. That Brahman by which this universal creation is maintained is in the instrumental case. And that Brahman into which the whole cosmic manifestation merges is in the locative case. yat or yasmin. It is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Idam hi vishwam bhagavan ivetaro yato jagat sthana nirodha sambhava. The entire universal creation is contained by the abiding form of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything emanates from him, everything rests in his energy, and after annihilation, everything merges into his person. Okay, so any question?
What is this ablative, instrumental, and locative? What is this
called? Locative. Yeah, so it is related to the action. So, you know, Prabhupada is actually. Like, you know, the Lord is instrumental for the creation, and ablation is something which is you remove something, you know.
Correct.
Right, like that. So it's like, you know, just concerned, it is, I think, connected with the creation, destruction, and maintenance of the universe, which is done by the Absolute Truth. So in that context, it is defined like this.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, this is what I understand. Because see, even if you see the quotations from the Shastra, they also mean the same thing. The Supreme Absolute Truth is He from whom everything emanates, and then later on also, Prabhupada is also using the same conception. That emanated in the ablative case, Brahman, which is universal creation, is maintained in the instrumental case, and Brahman into which the whole cosmic merges in the locative case. Yeah, so basically creation, destruction, and maintenance. So ablative, instrumental, and locative.
Okay, I'll take the next one.
Okay. Okay, one second. Yeah. So I think this is also connected to the 10 characteristics of a Purana, and one of them is Thanam, other is Poshanam. And so portion, you know, basically maintenance. Sthanam is location, the location of the planetary systems, locative, you know, like that. And creation the creation is so there is the primary creation and the secondary creation, and what is that called? I forgot the word for it, but yeah, this is also yes, exactly, yeah, sarg, yeah, right, yeah. So the same thing, I think, you know. Yeah, so see here also in Bhagavatam that Prabhupada quoted, it is mentioned yato jagat sthana nirodha sambhava. So nirodha is actually the sleep. You know, or the destruction, something like that. And sthanam is basically the location. Yeah. Okay. Next verse. Rajitu, you can, yeah.
भगवान बाहू कैल माना प्रकृत शक्ति कैला विलोकन स्वीकार न ही जन्म प्रकृत मनो नयन अतएव
aprakrita pramera nitramana. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bahu many, haitya to become, yabe when, shaila made, mana, his mind, prakrita, material, shaktite, on the energy, tatve at that time, kaila did, vilokana, glancing, se kale, at that time, nahi, not, janme, in creation, prakrita, mundane, mana, nayana, mind and eyes, Ata eva, therefore, aprakrita, transcendental, dhamera, of the absolute truth, netramana, eyes and mind. Translation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, when the Supreme Personality of God had wished to become many, he glanced over the material energy before the creation. There were no mundane eyes or mind. Therefore, the transcendental nature of the Absolute Truth's mind and eyes is confirmed. But in the Chandogya Upanishad 6.2.3, it is said, Tad Aikshata Bahushyam Prajaya. This statement confirms the fact that when the Supreme Personality of Godhead wishes to become many, the cosmic manifestation arises simply by his glancing over material energy. It may be noted that the Supreme Lord glanced over the material nature before the creation of this cosmic manifestation. Before the creation, there were no material minds or material eyes. Therefore, the mind by which the Supreme Personality of God had desired to create is transcendental, and the eyes with which he glanced over material nature are also transcendental. Thus, the Lord's mind, eyes, and other senses are all transcendental.
Yeah, so this is excellent evidence from the Upanishad to refute the Mayavad philosophy, and it's very logical also at the same time that when it is talking about the Supreme Lord glancing at the material creation over the material energy, that means the creation is not even manifested. And before that, he is glancing. Now, what is the meaning of this glancing then? So it is quite clear, because this material concept is only applicable in the material world. But before that, the Supreme Lord is glancing, and he is also... See, the fact that the Supreme Lord wished to become many, what is the meaning of this? It means that the Supreme Lord desires. And that means clearly that he is a person. So he has wishes, he has desires, and he has transcendental features. That's how he is a person. And so this is a very wonderful praman. Yeah, so any question or comment?
No problem.
Okay. Next verse. Yeah, next verse you can come.
It's a small purport. It was. So should I continue to say?
Who is reading? Swati Madari or Prabhu?
I can read Prabhu, no problem. Mera chota tha purport pehle.
You can read, no problem.
Okay, Prabhu. Thank you. Brahma shabde ka hai purna swayam bhagavan. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna Shastra Pramana. Brahma Shabde, by the word Brahma, Kahe, it is said, Purna, complete, Swayam personally, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam personally, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Lord Krishna, Shastra Pramana, the verdict of all Vedic literature. The word Brahman indicates the complete Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Sri Krishna. That is the verdict of all Vedic literature. That's what this is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 15.15, where the Lord says, Vedaischa sarve raham eva vedaya. The ultimate object in all Vedic literature is Krishna. Everyone is searching for him. This is also confirmed elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita 7.19. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvam iti mahatma sudurlabha. After many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. When one has actually become wise through the study of Vedic literature, he surrenders unto Vasudev, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. This is also confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.7. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Gyayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahaitukam Dharma Svanustita Kumsam Vivesh Vishvakshena Kathasuya Notapadaya Yadiratim Shama Eva Hikevalam. Understanding Vasudev is real knowledge by engaging in the devotional service of Vasudev. Krishna, one acquires perfect knowledge and Vedic understanding. Thus one becomes detached from the material world. This is the perfection of human life. Although one may perfectly follow religious rituals and ceremonies, he is simply wasting his time. Shrama eva hi kevalam. If he does not attain this perfection, before the creation of the cosmic manifestation, the Supreme Personality of God had possessed his totally transcendental mind and eyes. That Supreme Personality of God is Krishna. A person may think that there is no direct statement about Krishna in the Upanishads, but the fact is that the Vedic mantras cannot be understood by people with mundane senses. As stated in the Padma Puran, Ata Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhave Grayam Indriyai. A person with mundane senses cannot fully understand the name, qualities, form and pastimes of Sri Krishna. The Puranas are therefore meant to explain and supplement Vedic knowledge. The great sages present the Puranas in order to make the Vedic mantras understandable for common men. Sri Sudra Dvija Bandhunam. Considering that women, Sudras and Dvija Bandhus, unworthy sons of the thrice born, cannot understand the Vedic hymns directly, Sri Vyasadeva compiled the Mahabharata. Actually, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is Vedeshu Durlabham, untraceable in the Vedas. But when the Vedas are properly understood, or when Vedic knowledge is received from devotees, one can understand that all Vedic knowledge leads to Sri Krishna. The Brahma Sutra confirms this fact also. Shastra Yonitvat, commenting upon this Brahma Sutra aphorism, Sri Madhvacharya says, the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda, Mahabharata, Panchatra and the original Valmiki Ramayana are all Vedic literatures. Any literature following the conclusive statements of these Vedic literatures is also to be considered Vedic literature. That literature which does not conform to Vedic literature is simply misleading. Therefore, when reading Vedic literature, we must take the path traversed by great acharyas, Mahajano, Yena Gata Sa Pantha. Unless one follows the path traversed by great acharyas, he cannot understand the real purport of the Vedas.
Okay. So Prabhupada here, he mentioned that a person may think that there is no direct statement about Krishna in the Upanishad. Actually, there are direct statements. Like Gopal Tapani Upanishad, if you see, then some other Upanishads also, they do take the name of Krishna and they talk about Krishna also, how worship of Krishna is there, is recommended. Probably these are very, very few statements. So these are not easily viewable. They are not easily caught when we read the entire gamut of the Shastra. So we probably might not be able to find this out, but our acharyas, they have done the work and they have quoted the personal statements. They have quoted the statement about Krishna, and they have also quoted the abode of Krishna, Goloka, from these scriptures. So, yeah, we have all these statements. Yeah, and here also the same thing. You know, the Puranas, they are meant to explain and supplement Vedic knowledge, because the Vedas are very difficult to understand. Prabhupada also says this, that Vedic mantras cannot be understood by people with mundane senses. And it's in a very terse form. It's very esoteric. So in order to decode it, we require the insight of, we have to take the help of the Puranas and the Itihasas. So here again the same principle, that Purana Itihasas, they are all of the same Vedic nature. Okay, so any question, comment? Yeah, so I would just like to end by saying that it is also very interesting that the Srimad, opening verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam is a direct pointer to the Gayatri Mantra, and it is also a direct pointer to the Vedanta Sutra. So that clearly shows that how Bhagavatam is actually entirely Vedic in nature. None of the other Puranas, they have opening, in the opening statement, they have these characteristics as the Srimad Bhagavatam has. Janma asya yataha, tene brahma ridrahe adhikavaye. So these statements, they are a pointer to the Vedanta Sutra, and especially Saptam Param Dhimahi, the ending verse, the conclusion of the Bhagavatam, in the first canto, first chapter, first verse, the opening verse of the Bhagavatam itself is Gayatri, as well as the essence of Gayatri. Okay, so the Vedas, they conclude in the Gayatri Mantra. The Gayatri is actually the revelation of the Vedas, or the conclusion of the Vedas. So that sense, Bhagavatam is very clearly saying that I am that conclusion. I am the Gayatri. Okay, so that's how Bhagavatam is the ultimate authority amongst all the Shastras, king of all scriptures. You will not find all these things, all these characteristics in any other Puran also. Opening verse actually starts with the Gayatri. You know, it is not available in any other Puran. And then obviously the 10 characteristics of a Mahapurana, we see that how all these 10 characteristics are uniformly present in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Although some cantos, they emphasize on certain characteristics more, but all these 10 characteristics, they are present in all of these 12 cantos throughout. Yeah, okay, so any final comment, question? Okay, so we'll stop here and we'll continue next week. So thank you all the devotees joining. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhupada.